course, was created by the governor and the secretary of the Department of Juvenile Justice, Walter McNeil, and I'm sure they had their priorities, and each of the commissioners, you know, might have had different ones. But as we coalesced as a commission in our seven meetings across the state, certain things did jump to the top as priorities of all of us, and they are reflected in the first cover pages of the report. And if you want me to just tell you a few of them,
Please do.
All right. The overrepresentation of African Americans in the Department of Juvenile Justice in higher proportion than their population, particularly in residential commitment programs, was a big concern, and particularly among those youth getting arrested at school for school-based crimes and incidents higher than their school population. So that's a complicated issue, but it brought a lot of discussion and attention from the commissioners. We had a lot of expert help, guidance, testimony about that. Another one was the growing number of girls entering the juvenile justice system, and again, particularly in deep-end residential commitment programs, perhaps maybe double than it might have been 10 years ago. And that was alarming, and the reasons for it are disturbing. A lot of the girls are not committing new crimes, but they're what we call status offenders, which means they violate the terms of their probation. They may be running away. They may be not attending school. They may be, using drugs. They may be being taken advantage of by older men, things like that. But
sure.
For whatever reason, they're entering because they're kind of ungovernable. And so we wanted to address that. Another big issue was trying to move back to more community-based prevention, diversion, treatment programs for kids instead of commitments. So looking for things outside of a lockdown commitment program for the kids who, although they had charges, although they had problems, didn't constitute as big a danger to public safety.
To do some of these things, would it require additional funding from the state to go ahead and allocate more resources into some of the measures that you're recommending here?
Yes, especially in the beginning. And we did this to look at many years ahead. This is not like a 2008 kind of solution. And that's why it's called the blueprint. It's a blueprint maybe for the next 10 or 15 years in Florida, trying to focus on how to be smart on kids and to do things that save money in the end. One of the most persuasive studies came out of the state of Washington, where about 10 years ago they did an economic study on the economic benefit to the taxpayers of putting services in early for troubled youth, youth at risk, and their families, putting in family therapy, functional family therapy, multi-systemic therapies, addressing the family as well as the juvenile. And they now have enough years have passed that they've realized that actual money has been saved in fewer prison beds, fewer crimes being committed, and a healthier young adult population. So we tried to focus on those evidence-based programs that cost money in the beginning but save money in a few years down the road.
Now, Judge Sullivan, so having said that, but to get some of this funding, is there going to be some type of advocate for this in front of the state legislature to do this, actually?
Well, that's what we're talking about now. And, of course, we're going to have a new Secretary of Juvenile Justice, and I think he or she will lead that charge. We had a number of key legislators at our press conference today. I think they're very interested in helping and leading that in different ways. Certainly, Frank Brogan, the chair of our commission, former lieutenant governor, is a very strong advocate, and Secretary McNeil. So we do have a lot of advocacy, and the commission members have agreed to meet at least annually to continue to advocate. And yeah. I'm not naive. It does require a lot of advocacy in the kind of economic climate we're in. But I think the emphasis should be on the savings that occur. And fortunately, we can prove this now.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely.
Uh-huh.
Judge, anything else you want to add and tell our listeners about what you did, what you learned putting this report together?
Well, a lot of things I had known as a juvenile judge for 6 years, and I certainly learned more remedies, solutions, best practices across the country, because we did have experts come speak to us, and we heard on our seven statewide meetings what the public felt and the providers felt and the psychologists felt around the state. So I think the other commissioners who weren't as involved with juvenile justice had their eyes opened to the amount of mental illness, untreated health problems, lack of insurance, what that does to kids when they don't get the proper treatment and leads to committing crimes in many instances.